name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We heard today this famous parable of Jesus, this parable referred to as the parable of the Good Samaritan, so famous that many people in our society who are not practicing Christians are at least somewhat familiar with this parable, and we see the phrase Good Samaritan used throughout our society, often when people are doing benevolent works. But there are four things that I want to highlight this morning about this parable, because there are some things that can often be overlooked. The first thing that I want to highlight is the fact that this is a Samaritan that Jesus is using as the good example. And this is important because the Samaritans were enemies of the Jews. They were rivals of the Jews. They were very similar. They weren't Gentiles. But they were very similar to the Jews, having some slight differences. And you know how that tends to be when we have people that are similar to us, but some slight differences. We think of them as our greatest enemies. You know, it's so tragic. Many times we talk down about Catholics or Protestants. And yet, you know, if you look at it, we actually share more in common than we disagree with them about. But we like to highlight the differences. It's just the way that human beings tend to be. And so it was with the Jews and the Samaritans. They like to highlight their differences. And so they were enemies. And so we see again and again throughout his teaching, Jesus often commends, he often highlights the good works of the enemy, which is a reminder to us, brothers and sisters. It's a constant reminder to us that just being part of the community of God is not sufficient. We also have to do his work, and sometimes even our enemies do it better than we do. So it's a humbling parable in that respect. The second thing that I want to point out is that Jesus talks about this man who had been beaten on the road and how he was half dead. And many commentators highlight correctly that what Jesus is doing here, talking about this man being beaten so bad that he was half dead. And again, keeping in mind what I said to you earlier about the similarity between the Jews and the Samaritans. The significance here is that when he is passed by on the road, first by the priest, then eventually by the Samaritan, and as well the Levite, nobody can know who he is. You don't know if he's one of yours. You don't know if he's a fellow Jew or if he's a Samaritan because he's beaten half dead. And the point that Jesus is making here is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether he was a Jew. It doesn't matter whether he was a Samaritan. It doesn't matter if he was a Gentile. What matters is that someone is in need. And when someone is in need, we are to take care of them. And this, of course, is a very good reminder, given the current situation that we find ourselves in today's world, to remember that there is no life better than someone else's life based upon their ethnicity, based upon their religion, whatever it may be. There's no difference. I don't know why some people make a difference between a Jewish child, an Israeli child, and a Palestinian child. They're a child of God. And because they're children of God, we should try to help them. I don't know why on this weekend of Veterans Day we make this distinction between American soldiers and other people's soldiers. I mean, I understand we're Americans. But it's not good that anyone dies in war. And we should mourn that and not glorify it. It's a tragedy when people are killed, no matter where they are from, no matter what their ethnicity, no matter what their background, we as Christians recognize, as Jesus was teaching in today's parable, that all people are worthy of our help and of our mercy. The third thing that I want to highlight about today's parable is Jesus noticed both in the question and the answer what was emphasized. The man comes to him and he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, in teaching him, doesn't correct the question. The question on its own is good. So Jesus answers the question. Jesus didn't say, no. It's not about what you do, it's about what you believe. It's about what you think. It's about what you profess. No, Jesus agreed with the man. It's about what you do that matters. And Jesus, of course, goes on and teaches this parable and shows him what he should do, and I'll get to that in a minute. But the point is, Jesus is highlighting the fact that if we wish to be saved, if we wish to behave like God, then we must behave. If we must live like Him, we must do like Him. It's not about what we believe, about what we profess, about what we think. It's about how we live our lives that matters. And again, Jesus shows that it was this Samaritan, this person who was outside the covenant community, who actually did what God asks us to do. And so it's a reminder to us, brothers and sisters, to recognize that we have to put into practice our faith. We have to do God's will. Not just think about God's will. Not just say that we believe in God's will, but actually put it into practice. And that's the final point that I want to make. That Jesus shows us today. He tells us what we must do. We must love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And how do we show that? And it's very easy for us. It's cheap for us to say that. We show it by loving our neighbor. And Jesus shows us in this parable that there's no limit as to loving your neighbor. It doesn't mean the person who lives next door to you and the person over to them, that's their problem. That's not what it means. Loving your neighbor means that you find neighbors, you make neighbors of anyone who is in need. Anyone who crosses your path, or you cross their path, and they're in need, they become your neighbor. It's something that is active, not something that is passive. And it just so happens, it's a coincidence that it falls this year on this day, but we celebrate St. John the Almsgiver, or sometimes he's called St. John the Merciful, who was a wonderful example of someone who understood being an active neighbor, of someone who understood it wasn't just the person who lived next door to him. St. John grew up in a noble family, and he decided not to seek after wealth, but rather he dedicated his life to Christ and to the church. And when he was made the patriarch of Alexandria, he immediately sought out thousands of people who were poor, and he made sure that he took special care of them through the money that was available to the church. And he took care of all sorts of people. One of the greatest saints in our church, one that very few of us are aware of, St. John was a protector of him. St. Vitalis of Gaza. St. Vitalis was a monk, and he became elderly, and he had a practice where he would go into the cities and he would visit the prostitutes. And he would visit the prostitutes at night. He worked during the day to earn money so that he could go visit the prostitutes at night. And it became known only after his death that what this great saint had done, which is that he would relieve the prostitute. He would stay with her all night and allow her to rest, and would pray for her and would talk to her if she wanted to talk, so that she did not have to do the degrading work that she had been forced into doing or felt there was no better way for her to live. And many women through this ministry of St. Vitalis ended up being able to leave and be able to come mothers, wives, mothers, had to do other things in their life that were more meaningful and that was of their own volition. Of course, many people thought bad of St. Vitalis, and we thank God that St. John the Merciful was there to protect him. He knew what St. Vitalis was doing. He knew his heart. And ultimately, St. Vitalis was killed by somebody because he was visiting these areas of town. And at his funeral, there were many women that came and told their stories about what he did and how he changed their lives. Dad. And the people who judged him were put to shame. St. John the Merciful was his protector. There's another story of St. John where someone brought to him a bed cover. It was expensive. Someone who was wealthy. People like to bring gifts to patriarchs. People who are wealthy like to bring them gifts and show off. St. John the Merciful used it for one night and he sold it. And he took the money and he gave the alms to the poor. This person found out that St. John had done that, so he bought it back and he gave it to St. John again. St. John used it for one night. He went, he sold it, and he gave the money to the poor. And so it continued to happen many times. And the man confronted St. John and he said, "Well, I guess we'll figure out which one of us tires out first." And I'm guessing it wasn't St. John. So this is a prime example for us today, brothers and sisters, St. John the Merciful, of how we can be neighbors. St. John didn't wait for people to come to him in need. He was active. He was out front. And as a great bishop and patriarch of our church, he showed us exactly how we Christians should live in accordance with this parable that we heard today from our Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask today that the Lord would help us to remember to behave as he wants us to behave. Not just thinking, not just believing certain things, but to put into practice what he has taught us to do, that we would be a good neighbor, just like that heretic Samaritan was of old. To our God be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us, the faithful, pray for the catechumens, that the Lord will have mercy on them.
Lord, have mercy.
Teach them the word of truth.
Lord, have mercy.
That he will reveal to them the gospel of righteousness.
Lord, have mercy.
That he will unite them to his holy, catholic, and apostolic.